Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to us in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Actually awesome co-host, really. What you gonna do, ladies and germs? Granny Hulkster.
Well, hello, B-Train. How are you this evening? I guess it's morning time where you're at. It's still evening where I'm at.
It's actually it's midnight. If I was in Florida, in parts of it it'd be morning. But yeah, we are in New York. We're only an hour ahead of Granny and the rest of the folks, and also 2 hours behind would be Callie and the rest of the audience. But folks, the reason for tonight's show is not to douse Lesnar. It's to not douse Monday Night Raw in negativity. But Granny, the title does say SmackDown Live, a wrestling fan's paradise. Because I don't know about you, Granny, but I'm entertained. I love how SmackDown Live captivates me as a fan, and as you as a fan, and anyone else as a fan. I mean, don't you notice the difference, Granny, when you watch SmackDown Live versus the subtleties of Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I do. I do see the differences. Now, unfortunately, I did not get to see all of SmackDown Live, yesterday because I had a meeting to go to. But so I think we got, by the time we got home, we got to see about the last 45 minutes of it. So, you know, I just saw bits and pieces of it. So, but yeah,
That's me as well, fans. But right now we're gonna stick to the script. Not really. I mean, the show is called Off the Rails Uncensored Show. So we're gonna do SmackDown Live. Where are ya? SmackDown Live review in 3, 2, 1, dig it. Okay, folks, so SmackDown Live featured a lot of stuff going on, and it is 3 weeks before SummerSlam in my neck of the woods, Brooklyn. So I got to tell you, the return of Charlotte Flair, and boy, did she make a splash on her return to SmackDown Live, because it was originally, Carmella, she fooled us all. She didn't really, shoot promo. I don't believe that some of it was not real, but holy shit, Granny. Carmella spilled the beans on what she was supposed to be from NXT, and when she did her promo, I go, the handshake was a dead giveaway that she was not sincere. So Paige, in turn, after she saw what Carmella had done, because the opening of the show, folks, was Becky Lynch in the ring with Renee Young, and I do recall Carmella trying to shake Becky's hand, and Granny, I don't know of any snake other than Carmella, and she does wear a faux leopard, whatever she wears cheetah spots, zebra, I don't care. Carmella's Carmella, and she will always be a sneaky cheat. So, and this is coming from a heel. Carmella seems to be very on the, well, she wants people to feel sorry for her granny, and I think that's kind of sad but also funny. Why would we feel sorry for someone who cheats to win? And I have a feeling that Charlotte nor Becky Lynch are going to show any sympathy whatsoever, but Granny, I have the sneaky suspicion that Smellsworth is going to interfere. I can smell it from a mile away, and it's not very good smell. I mean, for reals, there's some burnt rubber in my neighborhood. That's what I'm smelling right now.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling you're right. Even though he's been fired, I have a sneaking suspicion he's just going to pop up out of nowhere. Whether he buys a ticket, just sit in the front row and jumps the banister, and then decides to interfere, whatever. You know, I mean. When you're walking through that grass, you know, and that snake is there hiding, ready to strike, you better watch out because, you know, you're liable to get bit, you know. And
I have a feeling, Danny, that I wish that Asuka could have been involved, which would have made the match a fatal four-way, which I have a feeling is going to happen. So get ready for the clusterfuck, ladies and gents. I love SmackDown Live to shits, but that's the women's side of things that went on last night on Tuesday night. If you don't have access to USA Network or cable television, you can go to your app on your phone called Hulu. You can watch it again on Daily Motion. But, folks, come on. SummerSlam is less than 4 weeks away. It'll be in Brooklyn at Barclays Center if you haven't already done so. Michael Cole is a big fat liar. It is not sold out. Come on. StubHub, Ticketmaster. Okay, NXT TakeOver is sold out, so good luck trying to find tickets for that. But like I said, Michael Cole is a big fat piece of, you know, I could go on and on about what he is. But anyway, SmackDown Live also featured Shinsuke Nakamura, Randy Orton, and Jeff Hardy. Now that, Granny, is a weird triangle of affairs, and I mean Shinsuke being the United States champion, Jeff Hardy being the former U.S. champ, and then Randy out of nowhere has been attacking Jeff Hardy, so I have a feeling it's going to be the kickoff match for SummerSlam. Don't knock me for saying it, but I believe Randy Orton may be on his last year, maybe. And I, you know, he hasn't been showing up much as of late, folks, because he does have ball and joint disorder, and I don't speak for Randy Orton, but holy shit, if I was in that much pain over the years, I wouldn't, you know, I'd just say hang up the boots, time to hang it up. It's addictive, trust me from experience. But Granny, what's your take on the whole Shinsuke, Randy, and Jeff Hardy sitch?
Well, you know, I tell you, I wasn't really surprised to see Randy Orton come out, you know, the other night, you know, after Shinsuke Nakamura beat Jeff Hardy, you know, and I thought, well, maybe he was going to go after, you know, Shinsuke, but then he actually went after Jeff Hardy, and so I'm kind of like, well, I'm not, you know, I haven't quite figured this one out yet. I mean, I don't know, you know, you know, Randy's been
a
heel for so long, you know, off and on, you know, that it just, I just haven't quite figured out this one yet, so.
It's a mystery, folks, because Randy, like you say, I mean, when he aligned himself with Shinsuke at the Once Upon a Time, there's a weird alliance, Granny, going on between those two, and you know, I thought he was going to go after Shinsuke, and it's funny that Shinsuke even said, "I bite back." He ain't lying, folks. I mean, after seeing how many low blows and how many devious things that Shinsuke has done since WrestleMania 34, when all of us thought, you know, it was going to be a good show of sportsmanship, I didn't give a fuck, folks, to be honest with you. I enjoy heel Nakamura. I've seen that in NJPW, New Japan, and I've seen AJ, both heel and face. So I really, at this point, don't care. Lana versus Zelina Vega. Again, I find it funny. They put these two in a match, the two managers. It wasn't a bad match. I just think Lana should really just not work, to be honest with you. If anybody works better than her, it's Carmella. Carmella really works the crowd. Now, Granny, I find it funny that Lana's accent keeps disappearing every single week. And that's the only tidbit of criticism that I have for the show. It's like, if you watch the show, then you can't criticize. Well, I watched the show all right, folks. Lana's Russian accent disappears. Now, if I could fake being, you know, Middle Eastern character Haman Ali at one point in time, Granny, in Larned, Kansas, and I had the worst Borat accent you could ever think of. But accent's not the point. See, I think what I'm trying to say is when Kofi Kingston's accent disappeared, the character kind of just took off. Lana needs to just manage Rusev, dear. Just fucking manage Rusev. That's it. If you're going to compete, and she's not bad, she just, well, from a worker's perspective, if I ain't the one in the WWE ring, then I can't say a damn thing. Well, guess what? I am a fan, and Lana's work, she does need work on a few things, a few touch-up spots here and there. Zelina Vega, on the other hand, she once upon a time wrestled in TNA. She wrestled as a part of the faction LAX. She's very, and I say this, Granny, Zelina reminds me of Sensational Sherry. She's very vocal. She's very good. Her work is solid. Her promos is what gets the crowd incited, you know, whenever she's out with Cien Almas, Andrade Cien Almas. As far as the match goes, fuck no. I'm sorry. This is off the rails and censored, and I haven't uncorked myself in quite some time. Actually, I did last fucking show when I was called a commie a couple weeks ago. I still find that hilarious, by the way. It's because here's the thing about Zelina Vega and Lana's match, Granny. I really just was like, no, not feeling it. It was one of the matches where back in the day when Granny and I watched wrestling, they used to have dark matches that people, if they went to the show, they would talk about it. This one should have been a dark match. just saying, it was fucking piss poor. If Zelina Vega is going to carry the match the whole goddamn time, you might as well just say, Lana, appreciate the work, but you should just be the hype person and go back to having your fake Russian accent, dear, because you fucking suck. There, I said it. I said it. The cat's out the bag. Now, moving forward, folks, down on the list, New Day came to ringside, and Granny, did you see that they had pancakes at their announce table?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you see that New Day had pancakes at their announce table that they had custom made for them?
No, I did not see that. So
it was funny because Graves was trying to dodge pancakes for like half the match. Corey Graves is so entertaining, right? He's like the modern day Vanilla Ice version of Jesse the Body. Which I cannot believe I'm comparing Graves to that, but it's kind of true. Anyway, so they had a match, the Usos were in a tag tournament to face none other than, get this, Granny, the Bar actually made an appearance. They made their return in the ring. Cesaro and Sheamus, I guess, took sabbatical or whatever happened. They were injured. I don't care. It was a good match. The Usos came close, but in the end, Sheamus and Cesaro get the victory. Then they had a standoff against the New Day, which, I don't know, I'm kind of torn, but not really. I don't like neither the New Day nor Sheamus or Cesaro. I was a big fan of Sanity. And unfortunately, they didn't get the pull, but you know what? Tough nuts on my end. I guess I have to swallow the pill, and I believe I may be wrong because SmackDown Live is so unpredictable, Granny. I'm going to pick New Day going over Sheamus and Cesaro because the fans are severely into New Day, and that's not a problem. It's actually good. That's my take or my pick for next week. I know that the main event was Charlotte versus Carmella. So the last 45 minutes, Granny, I'm assuming you caught the Charlotte versus Carmella bit.
A little bit of it I did. Yeah, like I said, by the time we got home, I pretty much had missed most of it. So I just saw bits and pieces, unfortunately. And I hate that because, you know, here we are supposed to be talking wrestling and everything. And I didn't even get to see much of it last night.
That's okay. I mean, as long as you get the basic gist. It was, you know, it's funny. Carmella, she tried to use Ellsworth earlier in the night as a distraction. And it's funny how Corey Graves gets excited over the smallest minute things. Of course, it's Corey Graves, so why should I be surprised? I love him announcing over Michael Cole. I will say that, Granny. That's a different subject for a different day on announcers because I really don't. To be honest with you, SmackDown Live, the reason why I said it's a wrestling fan's paradise, and that's the title of the show, they give you that show, Granny. I don't know if you agree. It gives you a different look every single week.
It does. You really, you never know. I mean, I never know what to expect when, you know, SmackDown Live comes on, you know. I mean, I don't know. I saw bits and pieces of, you know, Daniel Bryant. You know, I'm not sure what's, you know, going on with Kane. But, and then, of course, The Miz had to, like, oh, you know, well, Team Hell No is not going to be together anymore, blah, 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 you know. And I don't know why, you know, Miz was running his mouth about something and, you know, like he always does, but I would just kind of like to see Daniel Bryan kind of put him in his place. And
I think The Miz, you know, Granny, to be honest with you, there is such a thing as imitation as flattery, but do the fans notice? Do we notice? Yes. Can you say brazen ripoff of Ric Flair and Jericho? And it was just,
yeah.
He's doing a great job, but I... You know what, I'm going to say this. I've met The Miz a couple of times. He's a really cool guy. His on-screen character for SmackDown Live is brilliant because he pulls the villain behavior and not showing up face-to-face with D-Bry. I thought that segment was brilliant because here's my thing, folks. If you're the heel of a show, and The Miz displays that very awesomely, no pun intended. But here's the thing. If he's able to make Granny mad, if he's able to get her all riled up and upset, ready to scratch his eyeballs out, now.
He's doing his
job. He did his job. See, and that's the thing. That's the beauty part about discussing SmackDown Live is simply because they don't need – that show really doesn't need Paul Heyman to make the show. It doesn't need the women carrying the goddamn show, even though Mickey James is out and kind of throws a wrench into plan or whatever. I don't care. The point is, SmackDown Live is 2 hours long. That's long enough to watch a wrestling show because Raw used to be 2 hours. Like, oh, we're flunking in ratings. We need – Granny – their ratings were at 2.662, even with Lesnar there. SmackDown Live, on the other hand, you're looking at 3.4, 3.8, and then the final hour, the final hour was between a 3.8 and 3.9. So if they're hitting 4 million viewers, folks, that's pretty decent for what they're doing. And it's hard because wrestling is at a time in which not a lot of people are watching it. I mean, it's gained attention since Ronda Rousey, but what Granny and I are trying to convey to you listeners, and thank you, by the way, to all the listeners in Australia, the UK, Latvia, Portugal. Granny, we got listeners from Portugal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things that we like to point out for the fans in the UK. I'm sorry I haven't talked about Marty Scurll or Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, and all them from NXT. It's because NXT is kind of, well, to be honest with you, they're lagging a little bit. I mean, yes, they do have Lacey Evans and fucking Nikki Cross and Kairi Sane story going and the whole Shayna Baszler bullshit. But here's my thing, folks. If you want me to really relay to you exactly why SmackDown Live and NXT are much better than Monday Night Raw, here it is. Give the fans we want. Otherwise, you're going to join the fucking crew that sits there and tells fans how to feel. And this is a direct shot, and I'm not speaking out of turn, because here's the deal, folks. When you see and witness people and how they act today on Monday Night Raw, I'll give you examples. The Bayley-Sasha feud, where is it? When will we see the NXT caliber match that I saw in Brooklyn? Another question, why do you have a Universal Champion that has only showed up 7 times this year? And you can't say that I'm wrong, because that's fucking fact right there. And I sound like a whiny bitch. Guess what? You're fucking blocked. Bye. These are things that I'm seeing on Instagram, Granny, that really I'm just going to point out. If you have something to say, folks, there's a toll-free line, 213-943-3422, and Granny and I will be willing to discuss professional wrestling with you heathens. We love you. Okay, this is why she and I do this. But I'm trying to make a point to you all, and that is you cannot tell people how to feel and expect us to come back and watch your shit. I mean, I love Monday Night Raw. It gives me something to do. It gives Granny something to do. It's relaxing to us. I mean, violence in the ring. What better way to unwind?
I can take my frustrations out of watching wrestling, you know, especially if I've had a bad day.
Because you can't tell a customer to fuck off, or you can't tell them, you can tell, well, in my line of work, I can tell them to get out. I can tell them sternly, if you don't adhere to my rules, then you can fucking leave. Because I work as a security guard, folks, as my shoot job. Here's what I'm going to tell you. In the world we're living in now, we need distractions. We need distractions in which will give us hope. And we ain't getting that on Monday Night Raw, man. That is the sad, honest truth. And Granny, I don't know if you agree, but SmackDown Live kind of just, it allows the two of us and the rest of the wrestling fans and community to forget what we're going through, whether it be personal, political, religious, whatever. It's a nice breather from the bullshit.
That's right. I totally agree.
Because you got riots going on. You've got political bullshit debates going on Facebook. You got memes getting posted. Wrestling is the one goddamn thing that Granny and I hold dear, man. So,
well, I've been going through so much stuff lately, and just, you know, sometimes I just feel like, okay, you know, I can't do this anymore, and which kind of ties into, you know, what happened, you know, one day last week when I had made that post. I mean, I know, you know, I knew what kind of response for the most part that I was going to get when I asked what I asked, you know, but I think sometimes, you know, and it wasn't even about being burnt out. It wasn't, you know, I think I was just tired. I think I was just run down. I think whatever reason, you know, health-wise, you know, blood pressure issues, whatever, you know. I know I've been having issues since I had the pacemaker put in, you know, but I'm dealing with those issues, you know, the best that I can. But I have my wrestling family, too, that loves me and supports me and, you know, is always there for me if I ever needed them. And that means so much more to me than anybody can ever imagine. You know, it kind of like, well, I'll kind of share a little story with you and the fans. When I was actually working, I was at lunch one day and I was talking to one of my wrestling friends. You know, I don't even remember now who I was talking to. And the lady I worked with, she was very old fashioned, you know, I mean, I get that. And she's like, well, what does your husband think of you talking to these other men? And I'm like, well, first of all, he knows them. You know, he knows every wrestler that I know. You know, they come up, give me a hug. You know, my husband is not the jealous type. And I said, you know, you have to understand something. You know, I said, these guys are like my family. And she says, well, you're not related to any of them. I said, I don't have to be. You know, they're either old enough to be my son or my baby brother. And if they're married, I know their wives. I know their kids. You know, it doesn't matter. And she just could not grasp the concept of why I do what I do. You know, and that's okay. You know, I mean, not everybody's going to be a wrestling fan. And that's perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with that. If you're on a wrestling fan, hey, no big deal. No sweat off my back, you know. Everybody likes their own things, and everybody has their own opinion. But I just have been so bogged down with so much going on, you know, just personal stuff. I mean, other stuff that I have to take care of besides just wrestling for a cause or whatever, you know, I mean, it's just, and I just, so, you know, if I, it's kind of like I said the other day, it's kind of like I said last week on, you know, your podcast, when you asked me that question, it was kind of like when Big Swing asked me the question last Monday night, you know, hey, if Granny has to take a step back from wrestling for a while, so be it. Doesn't mean I'm going to quit going to wrestling shows. Doesn't mean I'm going to quit the podcast, people. You know, but if I am going to be good to anybody, think of myself too. And that's what it boils down to. Now, whether people understand that or not, you know, okay. They want to call me selfish, whatever, fine. Let them call me selfish. I don't care. But if I am going to be any good to those kids at Wrestling for a Cause, if I am going to be any good for you, if I'm going to be any good for Big Swing and the Icon, Granny's got to think of herself too. And I don't think that's being selfish. Take it or leave it, fans. You know, that's your opinion. You can take that however you want to take it. Did I lose you, B-Train? Hello?
Hello, sorry, I had stuff on mute. Holy shit. This is what happens when you go through the train, folks, and you, like, have your phone on charge, and you just, right now I'm in a nice little comfortable air conditioned in my house in Brooklyn, folks. We're about to go somewhere, though, that Granny knows, or sort of knows, but let's just say it. Off the rails, uncensored. Dig the madness.
The cost of personality.
All right, folks. So Granny and I have been talking about a lot of things, and not just SmackDown Live. We're going to both be talking about why, though, why SmackDown Live has captured the attention of fans, loved ones. Yes, Monday Night Raw has Ronda Rousey. But, folks, to be honest with you, like I said, each show presents good and bad. Good about Monday Night Raw is they have a lot of draws on their fucking roster. On SmackDown Live, yeah, they have a lot of draws too in the wrestling community, dudes. AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, you name the list. On the other hand, you've got Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. I mean, you got Braun Strowman, the Monster Among Men. You got Randy Orton on SmackDown Live. I mean, folks, this all plays into what's going to be the build for Survivor Series. And the reason why I say this is because I don't know how long Mella can hold the title. And she was right in her promo. She is a joke. She shouldn't even be holding that SmackDown Live women's title. That should be Asuka's by now. But if it wasn't for Ellsworth, which is a different story, because Lord only knows that dude with no neck who looks like a turtle, a tortoise, reptile of some sort. Folks, he looks like a Disney character reject, an Eminem wannabe, a trailer trash piece of shit. I could go on and on about Ellsworth on SmackDown Live or the fact that he even made it to WWE, but I'm not going to. Like I said, it's been a while since I've been honest, my honest self, and Granny can attest, you know, to being like, it doesn't feel like myself, you know, type thing. I say SmackDown Live is the A show, and Raw, you've officially been dubbed the B show. Here's why. If I can sit there and tell Granny my innermost feelings about how I feel about someone, then what is the problem with Monday Night Raw just letting loose, Granny? I mean, do you think that's part of the problem as to why they ain't clicking with the fans?
I think so. I mean, they're, you know, I realize they're trying to give the fans what they want to see, you know, but I think they're going the wrong way of doing it. I mean, they're doing it the wrong way. And I think if they would just stop and realize and just kind of step back a little bit and look at the pros, look at the cons, say, okay, when we did this, it maybe was a lot better than what it has been, or vice versa. I mean, whatever, you know, I mean, I think they need to stop and just kind of take a step back and say, okay, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. This is what we need to do to get back. Monday Night Raw is the A show. I mean, I don't know if that'll ever happen. It might. But they're going to have to work really, really, really hard, I think, to get that title back as being the A show.
It's hard, Granny, because here's the thing. I grew up watching ECW, and when I saw Raw had taken that format, because WCW, that I believe is one of the things they need. They need competition. And when I read in the article that, oh, you know, that WWE Raw is going to 3 hours, I kind of shuddered going, you don't have the same list of talent that you did from 96 to about. Not a fair comparison. I said, yeah, it is. Because you fucks decided to steal stuff from ECW. And you fucks as in, you know, Russo, Vince, and some of the boys that are now no longer are still there. Both the Armstrong boys, Brian and his father. You know, here's my thing, folks. when WWE went to 3 hours back to be Monday Night Raw and going to USA, I thought, oh, you know, great. They're going to add some implementation and talent. And when they failed to do that, when you do shit like Bayley and Sasha, there's a prime example of why fans drop you. It's because the feud, yeah, it's organic, but then you stop the feud. What in the fuck was the point of that? Granny and I want to see a good old-fashioned woman fight. You know, two friends going at it, they have more respect each other after they beat the fuck out of each other at SummerSlam. But oh no. Let's go back to the fucking drawing board and put Bayley and Sasha back together as friends. What in the actual fuck? Come on. What? Granny, I don't know about you, but that is one area where Raw is failing. It's making things organic to fans. You just cannot deny that, well, I thought Bayley was going to beat the fuck out of Sasha, and she finally did. Then they put him in this stupid angle, the story of Bayley and Sasha go to counseling. Huh? Come on.
It's kind of like Team Hell No happened to go to counseling all, you know, a few years ago, you know, with Dr. Shelby, you know, because they weren't getting along. It's like, you know, come on, people, let them fight it out. You know, I kind of like, you know, the storyline that they were coming up with, you know, that maybe, you know, Bayley and Sasha weren't as buddy-buddy as everybody thought they were. You know, they were trying to, you know, determine which one was the better one, you know. Let them fight it out, you know. Now all of a sudden they're back together as buddy-buddy, you know, which I guess is okay. But, you know, it's kind of like after the bit of the storyline with the therapist, you know, like, okay, really? We're going to see this again, you know. It's kind of been there, done that. I'm kind of old. I don't really want to see that, you know. I just want to watch some good wrestling, you know.
I find it amusing, Granny. I really find it amusing that they think, and I've said this before on previous episodes, why is it Monday Night Raw feels the need to be retarded in some instances, but then they're brilliant in other weeks? It's like, it's very hit and miss. It's not fair to fans like Granny and me who religiously watch wrestling as if it could, you know, be the start of a new religion. Wrestleology, I don't know. I mean, I find it alluring that on Monday Night Raw, there's very little tag team action at all. The B team, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. I'm not feeling it, Granny. A lot of people were, oh, you made them nobodies. Some of the wrestling community fans, that is. Oh, you're just misusing them. They're very misused. They're underutilized. They're the dark horses. And then you see why, folks, that they don't utilize Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel as a mainframe attraction. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I love Curtis Axel. I love Bo Dallas as the next fan. But you dumb fucks are the reason why, and you dumb fucks, as I'm referring to the fans who think they know everything. I would much rather have Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas as a tag team, or Bray Wyatt and one of Luke Harper, or one of the Bludgeons, because it's so retarded. It is so goddamn retarded, folks. The WWE Raw Tag Team Division is depleted. And am I correct on that, Granny, or not?
I think you are because it was kind of like, you know, the other night, I think it was last week, I was watching Monday Night Raw and they were in the back, you know, and they were getting ready to head to the ring for their match against Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. And of course they left their belts back there and they said, and they come back and they look and their belts are hanging up there like, oh, I guess we better take these with us. You know, come on, guys. You're supposed to be the tag team champs here, you know. Act like it.
I just think that Raw's tag team division is a joke when it's compared to SmackDown Live, and it's like, you know, folks, when you watch tag team wrestling, you think Harlem Heat, you think Legion of Doom, Rock and Roll Express, you know,
Midnight Express.
It's funny.
I mean,
Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. You think
the
Headbangers,
yep.
The Rockers. I mean, you the Wild Samoans. Granny and I could go on and on and on, but then you look at Monday Night Raw and you think, gee, where in the fuck are the tag teams? And it's not people are saying right now, why am I tearing down Raw? It's like, dude, I can find a tag team on Ring of Honor, the Briscoe Brothers, the Young Bucks. I mean, it's sad that I can go outside the division of WWE and list off tag teams. Jake and Dave Chris, the OI4K. I'm sure Granny can list a few tag teams from WFC that would just make – I mean, it's amazing. We both can find tag teams outside of WWE Raw's roster. Not to take anything away from the talent that's on it, but fucking shit, dude. This is why I titled the show SmackDown Live equals a wrestling fan's paradise, because Granny and I can tell you from personal experience of actually sitting down, eating dinner, doing whatever, and watching SmackDown Live and then saying, man, that was a damn good show.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest with you folks, I'm not bashing Monday Night Raw. I'm being honest. As a fan, you know, it's amazing. They finally, they're just being sarcastic with creative direction. Gee, you know what, Michael Hayes? Here's the thing. I respect you as a worker, but as a writer, you fucking blow. I'm not sorry, you racist prick. Here's the thing. If you're going to write gimmicks into your show that make no damn sense, okay, I'll give you an example, folks. Savio Vega, Nation of Domination. You got lucky, man. You got very fortunate that you presented that as the talent for Monday Night Raw at the time. And you got very fortunate that Russo nitpicked and just, it was like cherry picking back in the Attitude Era with Mick Foley and his four different personalities. But now Monday Night Raw fans is a joke. It's a fucking joke. You have Brock Lesnar as your Universal Champion. And like I told Granny earlier, man, it's going to be career suicide if you let creative decide that Lesnar is going to be champion. Oh, they're going to talk about it. Michael, no offense, dude, but when we as fans can catch on to the bullshit, and Granny knows exactly what I'm referring to, if we can catch on to the bullshit, bad juju for everybody on your roster, man.
Yep.
Me, personally speaking, I tried out for NXT 3 times, and it doesn't give me the right to say I know everything. I don't. Granny doesn't. But son of a bitch, if you have the audacity to say that Enzo Amore was a good hire, we didn't know he was going to be a piece of shit, but Jesus Christ, you didn't try to sweep that shit under the rug. I mean, like I met Rich Swann at Wrestling Revolver, and he told me the deal, man. He said, you know, this is how it was going to be at WrestleMania. This is how it was supposed to be me and Enzo. He said Enzo had his good days. He had his bad days. But a prime example, folks, of why SmackDown Live is way better than Monday Night Raw. I have never, and this is since 2015-16, when they transitioned from having Jimmy Jacobs writing the promos, and unfortunately, he did get fired because he gave the too sweet symbol, which I find retarded. But here's the thing. Learn how to satisfy the fans. And if you take jabs, you know, by, you know, sometimes I believe Monday Night Raw paid attention to my show because you guys took more jabs at me and my show and you didn't directly say it, so you avoided a lawsuit because I do have copyright to my show. And giving projections of ideas, that's called plagiarism, folks. So here's the thing. I ain't stepping on anybody's toes by telling you exactly how I fucking feel. So I don't mind Brian Armstrong. I do not mind Road Dogg at all. as part of creative. I do not mind Jamie Noble as a part of creative at all. But when you get rid of Joey Mercury and you see week in and week out the same old shit on Monday Night Raw, comparatively speaking to SmackDown Live, fuck what, folks? Sooner or later, good old B-Train and Granny ain't going to tune into your show, man. Because why, Granny? Why should we tune into a show in which disrespects fans and our credibility, and they say, well, who are you guys? You guys just pay for a ticket. We're more than that. I would hope that you picture Granny, myself, and other fans as more than just a fan who just eats popcorn and drinks soda and watches the wrestling show, and we pound our fist in the air like Neanderthals. I would hope
that they would appreciate us as true fans, you know, than just a nobody. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just Granny.
I mean, we just got a fucking, I don't know who was trying to call in the show, but it had a bunch of ones on it. So if you're trying to be Bender from Futurama, please call into a different show, you fuck. Anyways, if it's any regards to what I have to say, it's basically this. Granny and I love watching wrestling, so please hear us out. This is a direct, you know, plea to WWE Monday Night Raw. If you're trying to give us what we want, it's a little too late for that shit. Because we sat here month after month trying to make amends with all that you did, the Universal Champion that you presented, the Women's Champion's fine. The Intercontinental Championship is okay. Why? Because Granny said it. Dolph Ziggler defends his title. Alexa Bliss is going to defend her title. She fights every single week, even though it may be catty and dirty and petty. That's her character. But point Granny was trying to make was, know your place and give the fans what we want, not because what we want. It should come organic. It should come natural, in other words, instead of you trying to force feed us Bobby Lashley. You trying to force feed us Roman Reigns. And Granny, I don't know why fans are, I understand if they're not a fan of Roman Reigns, they boo him. But why boo a guy that's telling the truth?
That's true. I mean, he made a very valid point, you know, and then, you know, what do? They try to suspend him, you know, indefinitely, you know, because they don't like what he's saying. Well, hello. Truth hurts, doesn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes the truth hurts. And if somebody's man enough or woman enough to stand up and say, hey, this is how I feel, you know, I mean, I'm making a valid point here, and you all are not listening to anything that I have to say, you know, and then you all of a sudden, oh, well, we have to suspend you indefinitely because we don't like what you're saying. Well, you better stop and think about that, because if you do that and indefinitely suspend one of your workers for them telling the truth, that doesn't look very good on you. But then again, that's my opinion.
You show blatant favoritism, and I don't care who the fucking booking was or who it was by. I don't care. I do respect Hunter. You know, like I said, I tried out for NXT 3 different goddamn times. My thing is, I respect Triple H more than anybody on the fucking roster, period. Because why? Granny knows, I know, that Triple H wants his show to succeed. Vince is slowly but surely letting go of the reins. But Monday Night Raw, I love you, Vinnie Mac, but like Shawn Michaels said, you need to let it go. Okay? Here's the thing. If you think that we are the fans from 93 to 2004, Vinnie Mac, have nothing to do with the show. And I know this because I don't know everything, like I said, but if I've sat through a rehearsal, Granny, as an extra, my initial thought to you is, sir, I love you and respect you, and will always, but it is time to evolve your show. Other than appearance and entrance theme, you need, Raw needs what, you know, what SmackDown Live has, and that is an injection of tag team. It needs to let feuds be organic, and this is just a shout out, man. If CM Punk does come back, guess the fuck what? I ain't tuning in on Monday anymore. Here's why. Because Punk was honest with the fans, whether he sounds like a whiny bitch or not. And the sad part is, Granny, when you try and denounce competition that is your farm system, or Ring of Honor is basically, I hate to say this, it's WWE's farming system, because they got the War Raiders from NXT, or from Ring of Honor. They've got, I don't know if the Briscoe brothers were there or not, but they've talked to Marty Scurll. They've talked to Kenny Omega. He's not in Ring of Honor, but he does apparently show up. Cody Rhodes is even discussing, even though he signed a lifetime contract with Ring of Honor. When you have competition, what happened to the Vince that welcomed competition and shoved it right back into the dirt? WCW, Granny, I used to watch both WCW and WWE on Monday nights, because it was wrestling at that time, back in the days of VHS and VCRs instead of DVRs.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Granny, but I watch both.
Me too.
It made the product better. And Monday Night Raw, it's lacking that spontaneity. It's lacking that energy. It has the tools, but they're just sitting pretty or rusting in the shed because somebody's have pulled the fucking trigger. I don't know what's going on SmackDown Live, because fucking Christ, that show is super entertaining.
It is.
And Granny, like, I didn't used to watch SmackDown, like, because it was horrible. It was fucking horrible. It wasn't bad, but my friend was, I was like, man, I don't see what you see. I didn't start watching NXT because, like I said, I have tried out, I've applied, I'm too short, or I was too fat, or whatever. I still watch NXT, but the thing is, folks, I got 90 seconds, but I'm going to go a little overkill on my show. It's my damn show, and this bossy woman lady thing is trying to tell me I have 90 seconds left. You know what? Fuck off. I'm going to go extend my show just a tad bit longer. Because, Granny, you've seen what SmackDown Live has done at pay-per-views, how their matches, you know, captivate the audience. 60 seconds, fucker. Fuck off, you warning you. Here's the thing. Granny, I got to get your opinion on this. Do you believe that SmackDown Live is doing what Monday Night Raw wishes it could do?
Yes, I do.
Because as much as I love Paul Heyman's vocal skills, I mean, Paulie, I you need to get that cell phone from WCW and call the talent, because Monday Night Raw ain't got none. And just like the AJ Styles entrance Tron goes, they don't want none. Because if SmackDown Live goes into Survivor Series again, if Asuka's captaining, you know, their team, the women's team, Granny, good night, because Monday Night Raw doesn't have a prayer. They do not have a prayer. When you look at the talent, if Monday Night Raw wins again, I'm sorry. Nope. I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to believe the bullshit you're going to feed the fans and saying, this is how it is, this is how your show is going to be, blah, 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 this is how the fans... No. That's like holding a something over the fans' head and saying, you're supposed to enjoy this. And that's another thing, Granny. I'm going to talk a little bit more because this is something that's been bothering me. I see on social media fellow workers saying to the fans, this is how you should feel, this is how you should act, and this is how you should cheer. Now, I don't know about you, Granny, but if somebody tells me how to do something and it's my territory, my turf, I would tell them kindly to go fuck yourselves.
Well, okay, for example, when Kurt Gannon made his debut at WFC and you were there at WFC and you saw Granny in action, and I'm going to mention the villains on this one. You know, the little group of guys that WFC has right now, they're trying to run WFC. Yes, they have all the titles, they have all the championships, but they have those championships because they're the heels. They did not fight fair. They cheated to keep those belts. They cheated to get those belts. Okay, and I'm sure that you noticed some of their security guards for the villains. You know, they come over and Haskell in general comes over and, you know, puts his finger up to me and tells me to sit down and be quiet. And it's just like when Cruz got mad at me, yeah, why don't you sit down and shut up, you crazy old woman? And he says, security, make her sit down and shut up. You think that they're going to make me sit down and shut up? I think so. Because Granny has every right to stand and holler and boo and cheer for whoever I want to, and nobody is going to tell me any differently. Thank you very much. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you sit there and tell the fans that I've escaped from the nursing home. Or don't you have a curfew, Granny? Isn't it time for you to get back to the nursing home? They have done that to me before, too. But, you know, that's another story, another time. But nobody's going to sit there and tell Granny who I can cheer for and who I can boo. It's not going to happen. I will boo or cheer for whoever I want to, whenever I want to, and however I want to.
So my thing is, Granny, like I said, and that's just an example of gimmick, folks, for those who know. But what Granny is saying, do not tell her, do not tell me, do not tell any fan. Because then you're disillusioning yourself that fans are just going to shut up and do whatever you tell us. Like, nah. That's not how this shit works. That's not how we work as a show, as fans, as anybody would, you know, say, well, how do you guys function? It's called Granny and I have been through so much shit that you would cry if we told you what we thought or how we operate. Because life, folks, no matter if it's pro wrestling, your job, or whatever, if you don't understand that this world is not about you, it's not about the worker's perspective, man, that kills the show. That kills it for Granny and me, because now you're getting into, well, if they don't pop at this spot, then try here. Sorry, I'm doing my best impersonation of Michael Hayes, but, oh, well, the preteens, whatever, they cheer him, but there was no need to turn him. When you say shit that irks me and makes me grind my teeth at you, even on social media, well, I guess, man, blah, 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 don't pull it this way. I'm like, you motherfuckers, you think it's funny making fun of fans? I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's the hip thing to do to a fan. Because as a former worker myself, here's what I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all think your shit doesn't stink? It doesn't matter if you come from the greatest school in the world. If you act like an asshole to a fan on social media, away from social media, at, you know, at a crowd, if you don't sign autographs, then you're an asshole. You will be, I get it. Signing autographs can be very strenuous. Not just autographs, pictures. Do you know, Granny, that when I was in, you know, traipsing Brooklyn, you know, the city, whatever, having fun last year in Manhattan, I saw Sasha Banks. And she's friendly to a few people. I saw a fan being rude with her, but I also happened to be one of the fans that she negated because she had to go work out or do whatever, and that's fine. But I'm going to sit here and tell you this right now, folks. If you are a worker and you think that you are the shit, the answer is no, you're not. And Danny Cage stated this from Monster Factory. When I was doing a promo, he said, you were good, but how do you get blown up during a promo? And I made the mistake of saying, I know. And he said, no, you don't know, because you don't know everything in pro wrestling. Otherwise, you would have not made that mistake. There are certain moments, folks, that Granny and I can tell you about in past experiences. With her experiences in TCW in Arkansas, she can tell you about how rude Sean Smith was as a promoter, as a fucking unprofessional fuck. We ain't here to spread negativity, folks. We are here as wrestling fans to spread our knowledge, what we know, and not, you know, we're not berating people or things for a reason. It's because, okay, if you present yourself in a manner in which is very unprofessional and very rude to fans, and we're, Granny and I are going to tell you, why are you in the business to begin with? That's what I want. That's what I would say. And I don't speak for Granny, but Granny, do you agree?
Oh, I do, because, you know, well, you know, when traditional championship wrestling was running in Arkansas, I mean, I had so much fun being a part of those TV tapings. I mean, now there were some episodes that, like it when they were in Meridian, Mississippi, or maybe, you know, Pine Bluff, or, you know, I didn't make it every single show. But for the most part, if they were in Fort Smith or Clarksville, you know, Granny was there. You know, Granny was there. And but I'm going to bring up an example of CWA. They did a total of 5 shows, and they were kind of like WFC. They were helping people in need. The first show that they did for a young lady, she had leukemia, you know, and she recently passed away. She lost her battle with her leukemia, and she recently passed away here a couple of weeks ago. But and I had the wonderful opportunity to attend 4 out of those 5 shows. I did not get to attend the one that they had in May in Hot Springs, where Ric Flair was supposed to be at. I did not get to attend that one. Unfortunately, Ric Flair had to cancel pretty much the day before, you know, due to illness. And from speaking from friends with friends who were actually at that show, I guess there was about 40 people that really caused some major issues. I don't know all the details, so I'm not going to go there because I don't know what all happened because I was not there. But I was speaking with my friend, and I guarantee you, I said if I'd been there, I would have been right there with my friend Jennifer, you know, telling those people. And I'm not sure what Jennifer told these people. I have an idea what she might have said to these people, that because they were demanding, you know, their money back on their the meet and greet packages that they had paid to meet Flair, you know, Ric Flair and everything. And CWA, which a lot of these guys that wrestled for CWA wrestled for TCW when Traditional Championship Wrestling was running. So I knew most of those wrestlers. But that being said, they made the decision not to do any more shows because of fans being rude, fans being totally unprofessional. I mean, totally getting it you know, they were being, these fans were being selfish, you know. I mean, and like I said, I don't know all the ordeal because I was not there, but it's very sad because now if I want to see wrestling, I have to go to Oklahoma to go see it. You know, so it makes it difficult for me to get to see my get my wrestling fix when I need it because I don't have a lot of options right now to be able to go to a lot of different places to see any, you know, wrestling.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, there's a lot of angles of the business that I can tell you about. I can tell you, folks, I come from a place in which I was fired through Facebook Messenger, and that spawned me being the current owner of this show. I've been lied to. I've been laughed at. I've been talked behind my back. But you know fucking what, folks? I still love wrestling. It's amazing. After every single thing that I have been through, my car, Granny, before you met me, I had a Chevy Trailblazer. And you can search me on Google, folks. I don't give a fuck. This happened when I still lived in Kansas City, or as I like to call it, Kansas City. I was on 670 on the way to a show for KCXW, and I ran over a mattress. The coils hit under my fuel line, and my car burst into flames. Now, all the boys from KCXW at the time, some of them, like I said, I don't speak for them, so I don't know what they think of me, and I don't give a fuck. But my car lit on fire, Granny. I was just in shell shock. I thought I was going to die. And I thought for the longest time that there's going to be no more B-Train. Holy fuck, I'm going to die at 29 years old. This is going to suck ass. Actually 28, but here's the thing, folks. You don't realize how precious life is. And wrestling is like, I wrote a letter a long time ago on Facebook as a status of dear world, I love, or dear pro wrestling, I love you, I hate you, but I will never abandon you. And I haven't. I've been to Monster Factory twice, and I'm not going to say or divulge here on air because that's very unprofessional what I thought, my last final thoughts, because Monster Factory is badass. And I learned a lot of shit from Danny Cage. Okay? And even though I've only been there twice, for the record, I will say this. If you think that Danny's hard on you, you can go fuck yourself. Because you don't know what hardship is when you train in fucking Puerto Rico and live out of your fucking car in 2008 because you want to train with Kenny Bolin. But you don't have the right attitude, so you get sent home. And then you find out, well, the nearest school to you is Eldon, Missouri, or Troy, or WLW. This is just me uncorking, folks, because I haven't really uncorked in quite some time. When I had my near-death accident, Granny, there's a lady who pulled me out, and I went on the news because I searched for this person. And like I said, I love pro wrestling, but there are points when good old B-Train feels the need just to say the following. Some of you are snakes in the grass, and some of you, okay, I don't give a fuck because I have people that care, and wrestling has been a lot better since Kurt's been in my life. So if it weren't for Kurt, Granny, if it weren't for a few people, I'd just say fuck it. Just shut down. And I'm sure Granny's had moments where she didn't say, fuck it, I'm going to shut down, but she did have reassurance. And I'm so fucking glad that you are my co-host because I was running on fumes, folks. I was literally running on fucking fumes. And thankfully, Granny, here she comes to save the day. It ain't no joke because she did save my bacon. Otherwise, I would have been coming up with random topics with no direction. no help. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Granny, for saving B-Train's bacon.
Well, you're very welcome. And, you know, and it kind of, that kind of touches, you know, what I was talking about earlier tonight, you know, about my situation, you know, and I don't know how anybody feels about that, you know, but I basically got the responses that I was pretty sure that I would get, because the people that do care about me, and they reassured me that I would always be Granny to them no matter what, you know, and whether that mean, you know, because I mean, let's face it, fans, I've been Lori Burt wrestling fan a lot longer than I've been Granny Hulkster wrestling fan. But a very good friend of mine reassured me. She says, I totally get why you ask what you did. Because sometimes we need, and you mentioned it just a few minutes ago, sometimes we all need that reassurance from people that we care about, people that cares about us. You know, sometimes everyone just needs that encouragement, those encouraging words, that reassurance from someone that they care about or cares about them, just as a reminder. You know, hey, we are human. We are only human. We're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. And we're going to make mistakes. Now, there are some people out there, unfortunately, in this world that think they are perfect. And I feel sorry for those people. Because if you think you're perfect, well, you know, I've got some oceanfront property that I can sell you, because, you know, we are not perfect people in this world, B-Train. And, you know, I'm just so blessed that I have the wrestling family that I have, that I care about and that cares about me and cares about what happened to me, you know. So,
I mean, in closing, Granny, my theme is this, folks. If you really want to catch us on a good day, great. But I kind of had, you know, up and down day. It wasn't, one person can be a bad apple or a bad fucking seed. And like I said, I've been through my peaks and valleys, and it ain't over, folks. It is not over. I'm Kurt's merchandise guy, but I'm much more to him than that. I'm his brother. And for you fucks that don't understand that shit, here's what I'm going to tell you. This is not a bash on anybody, but I want to say this. I've overcome, Kurt has overcome a lot of demons in his career. I'm overcoming mine slowly but surely. Because, you know, Granny, there's a point where he was the only one that stood up for me. He was the only one that stuck his neck out for me. Now, yeah, granted, Rocco, I know you, big man. I love you. But, you know, he used to be my cast, my Enzo. But the thing is, Kurt's been the one, Granny, that has stood by me through thick and thin, and you got to have that in the business. I don't care who you are, because if you're alone, as Rowdy Piper said, the clip that makes me cry every time, we don't do this for ourselves. We do it for the thrill of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That is what makes me cry. Because Rowdy got it, Hogan, Andre, the list that goes on and on. And I know it sounds like psychobabble, you flying fucks, but here's the thing. Before I go, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, yeah, and don't get caught on the wrong side of my tracks, Jack. Oh, and if you don't believe what Granny Hulkster just said, then you guys can shove it up your ass and blow it out your fucking face. Sorry, folks, I'm hungry and a bit stuttering-y today or tonight, whatever. It's 1:50 in the fucking morning. Holy shit. Granny knows I can babble. But if you don't believe in what she's telling you, then what you gonna do when Granny Hulkster runs wild and crazy all over you? Thanks, Granny.
You're welcome.
Have a good night, toodles, bitches. I got to eat because it's already 1:50 in the morning and I got to work. So, yeah. Dig it. Dig the madness.